Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast, powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance, located in Niles, Ohio.
Welcome back to another edition of the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast, powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance, located here in Niles, Ohio, powering the podcast as we talk Niles McKinley Red Dragons football. And we're joined with our head coach, Mr. Coach Jim Perry. This particular episode, before we get into it, I know the kids and the parents love. We were unable to get a guest this week, but we'll be on it for next week so we can bring the players to you. But with that said, congratulations, Coach. How excited is it to start 1-0 instead of waiting a few weeks into the season till you can taste victory?
Well, like I told many people that have said that, well, beat the alternative, obviously. We had to record this last year after facing Girard in week one, and winning makes everybody feel better. So it's been fun coming in here. I think you just see a different pulse out of the team, and everybody's excited for a big week.
And let's dive into that a little bit more. I mean, last season you guys start off, you know, with a few losses, but this, I mean, how much do you really kind of get a sense that the kids have a little bit more pep in their step as they walk into this locker room and the practices so far this week?
Well, you know, that week one was unique because it was Howland, first of all. So, you know, that, you know, half, you know, and, you know, go down the road 5 miles, they're dealing with it. So I guess you could ask them. Thankfully, it's them and not us. But, you know, there was a lot riding on that for us, obviously. And, you know, the fun part about it for us is now, you know, we're looking ahead already to an Alliance team who we feel is going to be an 8-9 win team themselves, and all of a sudden this is just a huge game. And any time you get a chance to coach and play in a huge game, it's exciting. So, you know, just that one little win there, we told the kids too, like, we've coupled this up now. We're on a 4-game streak, and, you know, we want to keep that rolling. Throw in the good performances and scrimmages. You know, we have it rolling now, and just a huge, huge game coming up this week.
Now, just from talking with people, I mean, you know, we're all living in this community, so everyone's going to talk, but I heard a lot of things. A lot of people loved the way that, you know, quarterback Zach Leonard was able to kind of distribute the ball. I heard many times, you're like, wow, that kid got a nice arm. I didn't know that kid could throw it. How happy and pleased were you just knowing that he was able to kind of put that ball up and you guys were able to put up 35?
Yeah, we kind of knew what we had with Zach just because of what it's looked like all summer, so it wasn't really a surprise. But I will tell you, we figured it out after the game. We had 8 different guys to catch a pass. And in high school football, I would say that's got to be a pretty darn rare thing. And not in any way, shape, or form a blowout. I mean, this game was, you know, in the fourth quarter, it was a tie game. So, you know, the fact that we were able to do that is huge, you know, for us. And then you had a couple more guys carrying the ball, he and then Joe Gallicari. We had 10 different guys create offense for us. And, you know, we think that's a strength of this team, but, you know, that doesn't happen without Zach's ability to get the ball, you know, to the guy that the play presents itself. You know, we're not targeting, telling him throw the ball here. He's reading through his progression, and he's getting the ball and distributing it out.
Definitely. And for you, 1-0 against the rival, Howland Tigers, so I think the Niles community is definitely excited about that. But in terms of you, you're the head coach down there. Let's kind of go and kind of take us behind the scenes, Coach. Let's say, what was your favorite call that you made that night that maybe the kids executed to perfection?
Well, that has to be the pass we hit right at the end of the first half. And I'll tell you, we put that in specifically this week. It really makes you feel good as a play caller when it works, because we set it up. We kept running our jet motion, We kept watching their safeties. And we wanted to save that for the second half, but when Howland tied it back with that kickoff return, we just felt it was time to take that shot right at that moment in time. So we did it right after a timeout, so we knew we were on the same page. But we hit that pass in practice probably 8 to 10 times, and it worked every time. So when you prepare for it and it actually works the way that you want to, and then, of course, I didn't necessarily think it would go for a touchdown like it did. David made a great play, but, you know, that was one that as a play caller really made you feel good.
Yeah, great hands by Mr. Mays, huh?
He's such a weapon, you know. he made two terrific plays in that, one on defense on that 4th and inches. He was the one that made that stop there as well. But, again, that's not a surprise to us. We've seen it even going into last year. He caught a touchdown against Howland, and he's that real weapon nowadays. There aren't too many tight ends like him, floating around. So, you got a kid like him. And like I said, we had, 10 different guys touch the ball. We feel like we've got a lot of kids that really can contribute, and we got to spread that ball around.
It's good stuff. Once again, you're listening to the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast, powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance, located here in Niles, Ohio. We're talking with Coach Perry tonight as we move on to Alliance, a big showdown, and hopefully this team can get off to a 2-0 start. We talked about what play that made you most happy. What play did you call that maybe wasn't executed to perfection, or maybe you just kicked yourself in the butt and you're just like, why would I call that right now?
Well, I'm going to... I just think it's an interesting story. So our first touchdown, we had a play, and a couple times in practice, the kids had a hard time executing. And I told them, you got to listen to the play in the huddle. And we figured out what was happening was it sounded like something else we do. And I said, well, we're probably going to have to change that moving forward. Well, we called it, and the kids came out, and we lined up wrong. I'm like, oh, no. And I was like, well, I don't really want to call a timeout here. Let's just – hopefully they're just lined up wrong, but they're going to run the play correctly. We ran the play the wrong way. It looked like we were geniuses. Their kids jumped our kid. He didn't know what he was doing. He was just standing, standing there expecting the ball on what we call a now screen. So their safety ran up and got him, and Travis ran right by him and scored. So, there's sort of the balance of it. You feel a genius one moment, and then just lucky as could be the next. But the thing I like most about it is we got that play on film. So now hopefully the Alliance guys are out there repping a play that actually I will say it probably is in the playbook now. But it's just funny how those things kind of happen. Our disappointment, shaking head, is our performance there on those kickoff returns. And we spent some time in film today just explaining to the kids, why that broke down and what an important, part of the game that kicking game is, and to taking care of the ball. And people said to, the people I talked to this week, well, if you hadn't given up that kickoff return, that fumble recovery, you guys would have won that game going away. But the reality is, we did do those two things, and if you do that, you're not gonna get away with it all the time. So those are things we have to clean up on our end. And like I said, the big thing there though for us is we kept our composure in those moments. We didn't let those get to us, and after each one of those blunders, we were able to respond in the football game. And that's what this game's about. Oftentimes you're going to get your butt whipped, and you have to be able to stand back in there and then be able to throw a punch of your own. So I was proud of our kids from that respect.
And those two big plays that you mentioned, the special teams, was that something you feared? Or did you, just plays happen. I mean, plays are going to happen no matter what. But that, did you feel kind of confident with your special teams going into that game?
We did. Last year, we did not have a punt return against us. We did not have a punt block. We did not have a kickoff return against us. So, and we work on it a lot. And it is hard to simulate in practice. And, week one is, you worry about that in general. But, I felt pretty confident in ourselves in that situation. But, the good thing is we got out with the win, and that's on tape now, and our kids got to look, you don't do this the right way. This is what can happen, because everybody we play on the schedule has got kids that can really, really hurt you, with their speed and such. So, I'm not by any means happy that it happened, but to get away with it with a win, then I guess that's better than, like I said, the alternative.
Now, head coaches, you guys love to not know what's going on, but you guys know everything that's going on. that's my favorite thing about head coaches and being part of the business is we know you know everything that we don't even see. On a particular play like that, how quick do you analyze and just say, this kid's gone? Before the average fan is in the stands saying, he might go.
I'll say that when I watch football, I found myself standing up cheering like an Ohio State game and I think it's just because we see it so often, but pretty quick we knew we were in trouble. Yeah, it doesn't take much. And, and the other thing is I got a guy in my ear that's got a bird's eye view of it, and they usually see it. We felt like we almost broke one ourselves, and we were probably a tackle away from that happening. But and quickly, I guess because how – and I suppose with some of your football background knows too, we watch a play differently. I'm not looking at the ball here. I'm looking at our guys. And when you see our guys collapse the way they did – you just hope, oh boy, I hope they don't go here with that. So I don't think we're any kind of whiz. I just think we view it from a different thing. But no, there was no question. The other thing is we had an opportunity to knock them out of bounds, and we didn't do it. When it happened on the second time and they got the long return, our safety on that Chase, who was our kicker, he actually did a nice job of getting that kid to the ground. So he quickly at least learned his lesson on that. But we worked on this week quite a bit today, especially, so we hope to get that cleaned up this week.
Excellent stuff. As always, we're here on the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast. Moving on to this opponent this week, I mean, the Alliance team, road games, home games, how's this team any different mentally when you bring these kids out of this stadium?
Well, yeah, we haven't been on the road. Both of our scrimmages have been...
From what you've known last year with this team.
Yeah, I like I said, to us, we're treating this kind of like an opportunity, almost like a playoff-like type of atmosphere because, you know, they're Division II. So, again, for the local fans, what does that mean? They're in the same division as Warren Harding, Austintown Fitch, Boardman. So they're a little bit bigger in school. We're three, you know. They're a two that was three last year. We're a three that's close to being a four. So, there's an enrollment discrepancy there, but that's fun. That's it's just a good challenge. But the thing we get to do, we get to go to Mountain Union and play in their stadium, which is a really neat setting. So I think our kids are going to like
Capers,
that.
I think it's Dom Capers Stadium.
They have a Dom Capers press box.
Capers press box.
We were there scouting them last week, but. You're going to see some really, really good athletes on the other side of the ball. Their quarterback, I don't really focus on names, but with the opponents, but number two, just a tremendous, tremendous athlete. He's likely a Division I prospect.
Wow.
So we're going to have our hands full with him and their tailback. He's a converted wide receiver, but he's got speed to burn. And then a couple kids on defense are very, very disruptive. So, it's a great challenge, but I'm excited about it. And like I said, we're treating this one like a playoff game because we feel like if we get this one, then really that really sets us in a great situation moving forward.
Definitely. And for you, in terms of what you need to do, I mean, just kind of stick to me. I mean, I know you're not going to give us your secrets here today for them to listen to, but in terms of what you do, I mean, a lot of change or just basically to the script?
Well, first of all, if there's anyone in Alliance listening to this, then we're probably doing a better job than we thought. So they're welcome to steal whatever they can. But, the cliche in football is you get better the most between the biggest jumps in your team should be between week one and week two. And we got enough things on film where we feel like we know who we are. They're a team that we uniquely do have to game plan for some of the challenges they present. So some of the changes in our game plan, we have to be able to do things, it's game plan, and so we're not going to put that out there. But we do have some changes in this week. But I think the important thing is to keep distributing that ball. I mean, if you're looking at how to defend us, I mean, I'd be curious to be in their coach's office, but I got to say, again, I think it's pretty rare where eight different people, catch a ball and then four different people run the ball and things like that. So we got to keep doing that. And, Zach's the key to that because he's the one that's able to distribute the ball out where it needs to go. And then defensively with these guys, we just really got to tackle, and pursue. And, what happened we found with Howland was when we lined up right, people tend to think about, well, you should blitz more, you should do that. If you can get your guys, and I know it sounds easy if you're listening at home, get your guys to line up correctly to a formation, call the strength, and then execute their first few steps in the right direction, we were fantastic on defense. I think we gave up probably less than 10 yards of rushing and probably less than 50 yards of passing when we felt like we were alignment and assignment sound. So, that's where we're going with this week. Not a ton of different stuff we're doing, but making sure that when they come out in this, we're in this, and that's going to be big for us this week.
I love it. Now, the last year, Permanis and Niles was nice enough to give these young men a district certificate for their great effort, and I know we discussed this prior to the show. And sadly, you're going to be missing one of your guys. But kind of tell us who and why and just kind of talk about, what he brought to the table.
Yeah, so our Permanis Player of the Week is going to be Travis Molnar. And Travis is number 22 for us, and he had just a tremendous opening game there. I think he rushed for 20-some times and over,
about 120-plus yards.
120-plus yards, and and caught that touchdown pass and ran for one. So just a great game. It was sort of a breakout game for him, you know, just being the junior. And again, we were excited to get him out there because we knew he was capable of. He suffered an injury, so he's going to be out for a little while here. And, you know, I think obviously we had multiple guys. We mentioned David Mays. We mentioned Zach. All those guys that contributed both offensively and defensively, but we just really felt that he's probably deserving of this. And, you know, like I said, we hope to get him back down the road and get him back in there because he's a big big part of what we try to do.
When you knew what it was and he was out, I mean, what kind of letdown is? Especially, you don't want to see anyone go down, especially, God forbid, kids. But when you know he's a valuable piece to what you're trying to achieve.
Well, this is the second time this happened with this injury. He comes running off the field. Like, he didn't lay down on the field. So you're pretty optimistic at that point in time. How bad could it be? He just ran over here, you know. And he said, oh, I think I dislocated my shoulder or whatever. And I'm not a doctor. So, you know, we obviously our trainer does a great job. And then so it's one of those, well, you better go get it checked because we got to see. And then, you know, news comes back and it's not great. You feel, first of all, I guess you feel shocked, but then you immediately think about, oh man, this is tough. This kid's worked his tail off to get to this point. So, the good news is, A, you know, he is a junior, and B, we've been told that likely we'll get him back at some point during the year. So, you know, that's what we're hoping for, and he's got to stay engaged. And, you know, here's the reality of it: this is the sport that we're involved in. It's next man up. So, we got to go, and you know, he's going to be a big part of that moving forward, and helping getting the next guy ready. And you know, we're not going to pout over it, so we're heading forward.
And a big shout out and congratulations to Travis on that award. Fantastic game, and I know this Permane's gift card isn't going to probably make you feel that much better, but at least you know your effort was appreciated, and the Dragons can't wait to get you back to full strength. Coach, before we let you go, we're going to wrap things up, and again, we'll start bringing the kids on next week. I know everyone always likes to ask. We had a late night. Coach is doing his thing. I was just in Brookville watching my daughter run. By the time we were able to get tonight's episode together, we were in the coach's office, and it's just me and you, which is usually a rarity. Usually the kids are... I know Savin would have been lifting weights if this was last year, right?
For sure, yeah. You know, we had a long practice today, too, so, you know, my kind of thing when we get... Well, especially when we keep them long, is get out of here. You know, go home and get your homework done and that kind of stuff. But, you know, I didn't know what... I thought we were going to be even later. If I didn't know we were going to do this time, I might have been able to hold one of them here. But we do want to showcase the kids more and try to get you guys to all hear from that. And, you know, just like the players, we got to do better, bro. That's a ball in my hair.
And this will be a new wrinkle, and I'm going to be going around Niles grabbing these, but I'm going to do you first. We're just going to have a Dragon memory. What was your favorite memory about being a Red Dragon? Maybe a particular game, a particular play? Say what year it was and who against.
Yeah, so I guess for me, this is maybe a little bit different because my sophomore year, we played Warren Western Reserve at Mollenkopf Stadium. They were supposed to be really good. They were really good, and we beat them late in the game on a play that we actually scored against Howland last year. It's a boot throwback pass. DC Canary caught the ball, and it was really the first time I was involved. Like, as a kid growing up in the 70s, you love Niles or whatever, but it was the first time where I was a part of, I guess in a way I say a part of, I stood on the sidelines. I didn't play it down. But I'll just never forget, you know, the police escort home back into Niles, and we came back out of him here and did Dragon Jacks on the practice field in the dark, and the horns were blaring, and you know, I felt... Like I won the Super Bowl, and that's just one that always really stuck with me. And like I said, not because I did anything at all, you know, I was just probably 110-pound sophomore. But to me, that was, you know, with Coach Papada, and we ended up winning the conference that year, and they hadn't won the conference since the 60s when we did that, and that was, to me, the pinnacle of that season, with that win that I don't think a lot of people really thought was going to happen. And I'll tell you, just, you know, it's funny that comes up now, because I really think that's where we can go with this thing Friday night. I don't think you know, if you look at the experts in the paper or any of the talk, you know, around the football community, I don't think anybody thinks we're going to go into Mount Union and do this, but I do think there's 50-some kids and a dozen coaches that really do believe that. I'm not just saying that. I think we can go in there and go get this one, and it's a great challenge, just like it was 20, I guess that's 30 years ago, about 30-plus years ago, but I really do feel like that, and I think that if we do that, then we'll have the same kind of energy coming back into town and get this thing really, you know, going in the right direction.
Fabulous stuff. Once again, we appreciate Coach Perry sharing his time. We'll be bringing the players in next week. You'll get the insight from them. And I thought this was a fabulous show. We really kind of want to get into the nooks and crannies of the program. And if you love Niles Red Dragons football, I don't think you were going to find a better source right here of what we talked about tonight and moving forward. Coach Perry, best of luck. Safe travels to you and the team up to Alliance, and bring back that victory.
All right. Thanks, bro.